Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on End Times Friday, which will be airing May the 31st.
Good morning.
You and I are experiencing what it looks like to have internet problem.
Yes, we are. This is third time's a charm on this episode, right?
Yeah. Maybe some of the stuff we said, maybe we're not supposed to talk about. I don't know. So we're praying for good technology connection, and we've rebooted everything. And I know everybody listening can appreciate this for sure. Is that they experience, you know, the interesting thing about technology is that, and obviously because of the systems that, you know, operate literally worldwide, things can be problematic.
Absolutely. So, and we're at the mercy of the internet, yeah. It feels like sometimes, right?
So we taped last week's in kind of the middle of May. And now we're able to tape, catch up. So we're closer to the 31st in terms of being able to tape and bring up to date things that are happening. Kathy, I was traveling to Europe with our leaders. So we did a great retreat in France, and you went to see your mom, and
yeah,
and then had some airline issues that had to.
Yes, yeah, so I'm running on just a few hours of sleep right now. So lots of grace and mercy today for jet-lagged Rich and few hours of sleep, Kathy.
That's it. Yeah, I got in yesterday afternoon, and it takes a while to get adjusted. So we are praying for energy, but we do want to have a brief update. Last time we were talking about preparation and get ready for certain things. Economically, and we'll talk a little bit about that in terms of trying to solidify what's going on there. But I did want to have a brief update on Israel. We won't spend much time on that because these are things we're going to toss over to Denny to get some information. We're privileged to have Denny and the connectivity he's got with people inside Israel. And the people that he's connected to are just there to say, here's what's really the truth.
Right.
Without trying to persuade us of anything.
Right. No real agenda, just what they're observing, right?
And that's our heart always. And some things. So there's a couple of interesting things. You know, the United States, the United Nations, they're presenting as if they're working to prevent Israel from entering Rafah in Gaza to complete, you know, going after Hamas leaders. Well, the truth of it is that they're already in there. And they've been working the tunnels and cleaning it up, and they're going after these people. And so it's not about are they going in or not going in. They're already there.
Yeah. We'll have to ask Denny. I'd love to know why we're getting a different story, like what agenda that even serves.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand that.
Yeah. You know? Remember one thing he did say is that the journalists actually are not in Gaza.
Right.
They're at a different place. They're getting information. And because of the information is skewed with threats, if you don't report it properly. So they're getting information, reporting it as if it's true, but it's not. It's really not.
Right.
And I can even prove that because I saw it firsthand. So that'll be an interesting thing to say, okay, what is happening and what they're doing in Israel. Remember, they are a unified party now where all these different factions, 13 of them, have all signed together. And yes, we're all in unity to go complete this war against Hamas. Right now, there are factions. They've still signed up to that. But they are saying, hey, Netanyahu, what's your plan to complete the war? And we got to end it one way or the other. We can't keep, we don't want this to be an endless thing. So they are at least pushing that question, which will be interesting to have Denny answer that. The one thing that I saw, Linda and I saw, we were actually yesterday in the German airport in the Lufthansa lounge waiting for our plane. We were at a stopover, and CNN comes on and makes a statement with the newscaster and the information that Israel is preventing aid from getting to the citizens.
And, which we know that's not accurate.
And that's completely false. That Denny and people should go back and look at the website that he suggested. And you and I have done it. We've looked at it and actually printed it out. The only ones providing aid to them is Israel. And they're working at it with hundreds of tons of stuff every single day.
Right.
Now, Hamas is working.
Hamas is working against them.
Yeah. And Hamas is working against the United States, who is trying to get things there. But it isn't Israel who's purposely stopping it. It's the other way around. But it's being reported that way.
Right.
So it's interesting. And I'll talk to Denny about that. And see, you know, where that goes. And then this just happened yesterday that there are three European nations that came out and said, we recognize the Palestinian state. So the questions that I'm going to ask Denny about that is, well, what exactly does that mean? That you are recognizing the Palestinian state, because we don't know, well, where is that and who is that and how does that exist? And so we're trying to understand that. And then what does that imply? And what if other countries join them? How is Israel going to play all that out? So that'll be the question. So just everybody stand by. That's coming up. And
I love that we get to have Denny on and just get another bird's eye view there, right?
Well, we have some real questions that we need truth about, you know, and I believe God connected us to say, I'm going to have you keep being able to broadcast the real truth. And then the question will be, okay, based upon that and the fact that we're getting different stories, how do we look at that and how do we understand that? And what does that mean? Because we know at the end that Israel is preserved. They become the ones that are believers in Christ. They last through the whole tribulation. The Battle of Armageddon happens because the whole world comes against them.
Right.
But Christ returns and then sets up the millennium. So we all know that to be true. So it's interesting to say, okay, where we are today, how's that going to play out? You know, and so that's our question. So that'd be fun. What we want to talk about today, though, in detail was the economics. And the situation of the economics. And I've talked to unbelievers and believers, and I asked them, what's your view of the economic situation today? And they almost universally say, well, one, I'm not a student of this. So I don't really know. I can't really say it out of my own analysis of data.
Right.
But what I hear the news say, what I hear economic forecasters say, what I hear the financial channels say is that, yeah, we're going to have a slowdown, but it'll be at what they call a soft landing. And a soft landing is it'll be very slight and it won't impede the growth that they expect. So everybody says, in essence, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's not going to impact you. Now, interesting enough, and we all know this to be true, is recession doesn't matter until it hits me.
So true, right? So true.
And usually that's in the form of being laid off at my job, or I have more and more pressure for buying things that I can't buy. And see, right now, and this is one of the facts, is that the credit card debt has skyrocketed.
Right.
For lower to middle income people. And what they're doing is that they're not able to pay their monthly bills.
Right.
So they use credit cards to just keep paying the things, hoping that someday they might catch up. Or there is now a belief that, well, so what? Because I can just either file bankruptcy, or the credit card companies would just settle my debt.
Right. Well, and let's face it, the government models this theory very well. Yeah, for us.
They right. do. They do well. They do really well with that. So that's happening. But I wanted to explain something about what I believe is really happening and how it has been set up and what really the game is. And that is that the economics of every country is driven by the central bank. Mm-hmm. And they set the policy of what's going to happen, and they manage, in essence, literally the world economics. And one thing we need to understand that's hard for people to grasp is that the central banks are not agencies of the countries they serve.
Right. Which is very deceiving because it's called the Federal Reserve, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
And so you assume with federal, it would be a part of the government, truly.
Yeah, yeah. So if I say to people, well, do you think that, what do you think is the, who is the Federal Reserve? Well, it's an agency of the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's actually owned by foreigners, and they control themselves. The money is mm-hmm. theirs, by the way. It's not ours. They lend it to us, and they support us, but it's all driven by their policies and their government that manages those, that independent of the government that they serve. And by the way, it's worldwide. So every single central bank.
Yeah, there's not a country that this is not the case, right?
Is owned by the Rothschilds and or controlled by the Rothschild family, who has been purposely, and they've said it over and over again, and they did it quietly for 100 plus years, that we're headed toward one world government. And by the way, I think mm-hmm. they're infinitely patient, by the way. so that's always the question, is that we might lay on a quicker timeline for us mm-hmm. than they really are engaged in. And they've shown infinite patience with that. But and the Rothschilds, they own or control all the central banks. They are connected to the WEF, World Economic Forum,
right?
That purposely now has, and this is in the last 3 years, has come out actively saying we are now working toward one world government because that's the solution,
right?
To the world problems, and we're working toward that. And they've got the horsepower, connection, and the strategy of the central bank, and then along with all the corporate and government heads around the world that can support it. Mm-hmm. So that a lot of people think, well, we're really stuck in a political battle about, right or left or conservative or liberal. Where is war going to play a part in this? And does somebody take over? Mm-hmm. And the truth from the Bible is none of that's so.
Right.
It's all economic. So while this is going on over here, see, the real game is what's going on in the economics. And mm-hmm. and then they have people that purposely deceive the world about the economic game.
Right.
So right now, conversation, soft landing. But all of the information is actually opposite of that, that things are happening. Like, for example, we just said credit card debt is skyrocketing to a level where it can't be sustained. Government debt around the world is skyrocketing and can't be sustained. For example, the United States now, the interest rate alone on the debt is exceeded the military budget. And
wow.
It's about ready to exceed all the health and human resource giveaways that is going to become number one. And see, they're stuck. Is what we're understanding is that they are stuck in a place where they can't go back to zero interest rates. Mm-hmm. They have to continue to have the interest rates high. Why? Well, because inflation happened when they stimulated the economy from COVID, which, by the way,
right.
and there's even now evidence right now, there's a hearing being done that the advisors to Fauci deleted emails, and their emails said, we've learned how to do that. And why? Well, because we were funding the development of the virus in Wuhan.
Wow.
And so it was all purposeful.
Not surprising, right?
Yeah. It was purposeful, which members shut down the economy, which then they flooded the economy with stimulus. And when you flood the economy with, by the way, worldwide, with stimulus, it creates inflation. Mm-hmm. Okay, when it creates inflation, the Fed has to raise their interest rates.
Right.
Well, when that does, it puts pressure on the ability for the governments to survive. So it gets heavier and heavier and heavier that they can't sustain it. Mm-hmm. So that's going on. Okay, a couple other things. The housing market dramatically shrunk in terms of sales the last 2 months in a row, and is continuing. Mm-hmm. Industrial buildings have dramatically decreased in value because of, you know, we changed our paradigm to not need offices anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's dramatically changing. And there's going to be lots of bankruptcies coming up. We've said this before, but you ought to go check your local bank where they stand on the list, because people have forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They're still there.
Yeah.
And they're in a potential place to fail. So what I think is that I think the soft landing won't be as soft as people think. And what I believe is that they're delaying until after the election. I think there will be a severity of a recession. I don't think it'll be necessarily the ultimate one, mm-hmm. but I do think it'll be a severe one to test out the system, so that the WEF has said, well, their goal is 2030. Mm-hmm. And we can't say that's for sure, but I believe.
But that is what they're working towards. So they're not even looking at it from a biblical perspective. In fact, they disregard most of that.
Yeah.
But they're saying, hey, we want one world government, one world economy by 2030. We think this is what would be best.
Right.
So we're looking at what they're saying and applying biblical prophecy to it
right.
as well.
That's right. Right. Yeah. That's right. So the if you look at then the implication of that. Is that the collapse is what's going to cause the one world government to come into power with their solutions. Mm-hmm. And it has to be deep enough and wide enough worldwide so it impacts everybody, so that all the division that takes place now is all resolved, because everybody becomes unified with, yes, we support that new solution. And the reason is that if the collapse impacts everybody, mm-hmm. they really lose their differences,
right.
and say, you know what, for the benefit of everybody, let's go to this one world government and cooperate with it, which the Bible says they do. Mm-hmm. So the implication of this is, I would urge everybody to dig in a little bit deeper, to look at real information. Mm-hmm. Don't be fooled by that the next several years might be just a slight or no recession, but it could be. And by the way, there's lots of people now starting to get laid off already. Mm-hmm. So I just say that understand what God says to you. Look at the company you're involved in. Start understanding their situation and be ready. If God says, I need you to move somewhere, I want you to prepare for it, I want you to save up, just keep looking at what really is going on, and have your eyes opened up to the possibilities of what's going to go on, and realize the game. And by the way, if 2030, let's say, was the date, or even 2035 was the date that the one world government was going to come in place, it's time for us to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Because remember, God says to the believers, don't take the mark of the beast.
Right.
Don't join the system. Well, then what do we do? And of course, a lot of people say, well, it's the rapture. We're raptured. Well, I think we've said enough that maybe not.
Right.
So let's assume not. We're going to go through the tribulation. What does that look like for us? We know God says, I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. We know some people are actually persecuted and even martyred during that time. So that is part of it. But we just need to consider that. So if we need to prepare for something different.
Right.
And the cycle is even, you know, a little bit up and down between now and then, which it will be. And even then, we need to understand God's will. Mm-hmm. But if it's headed that way, we and our children and our grandchildren, we need to start discussing that, processing, have community around us, and begin to look at that as something of not we know what to do, we don't have to pretend to say it's going to happen by a certain date, but we have to be open to the signals that God gives us.
Right. Can I highlight there, just as you say that, what you said and what you didn't say? What you said was going to community, asking God for his wisdom. How would you have us navigate this?
Yeah.
And going to community for confirmation in there. What you did not say was go make a plan for yourself and go build 1,000 bunkers and stash everything and run around frantic, worried that all this is going to happen. And I'm making that sound so ridiculous, because that is actually a tendency of people is, okay, well, even people who would listen here, Rich said, you know, this could be a possibility. So now I'm going to go XYZ. And that's not what you're saying. You're saying now you're going to go to the feet of God and say, open my eyes. Let me see what you need me to see. I need to have eyes wide open, looking at the data and sifting that with you, and you showing me, God, what I need to do with this, what I need to pay attention to, and how I navigate. And I need to do this in community.
Right.
And so I'm just highlighting the difference, because there are both out there.
Yep.
I actually know a lot of non-Christians who are in the panic side of the other right now.
Yeah.
And just running and doing everything they can to prepare, because they don't have a relationship with God to lead them in how to do that.
Yep.
So I just wanted to highlight that.
So a verse that I want to just start with, and we'll continue this next time, is this. This is in Luke chapter 21. The question came is, you know, what will be the signs and the things of the end? And he goes through, we've talked about these before, about the return of Israel, you know, the difficulties and all the things that are going on. But he gives us a little bit of a statement that we'll just start, and we'll pick it up next time. But read verses 29 through 38.
Sure. Then he spoke to them in a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him.
Yeah. So a couple of things he says here that we just want to start is he said, look at the fig tree and remember, he's already used the fig tree as a representative of Israel coming back as a country.
Mm-hmm.
So when the fig tree blossoms, know that the end is near. That generation will see the end, is what he says. Mm-hmm. And again, we've talked about this before, is that, it happened in 47, then the Six-Day War in 67, and a generation has already passed. So is that really true?
Right.
And we said, well, when I had that lunch with Netanyahu, he explained it that they didn't consider themselves a nation until over half the true Jews are living in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps explain something.
Right.
And then in 2012, he stood up again in a secular audience and said, hey, I have an announcement. We've reached a nationhood. We are now 50% of all the Jews, true Jews, living in Israel. And by the way, they continue to grow. And interesting enough, by the way, Christians are helping fund that.
Right.
So they pay for people to be sent there. And then Israel has a whole program to absorb them into the community.
And there are Jewish people and Jewish Christians that feel called to go back to Israel, like God is leading them back, which is an interesting thing to watch
right? It's very interesting. And the one thing I've noticed, by the way, and we can talk about this with Denny, is that there were a lot of silent people about Israel and the Muslims and the attack against them. So they continued attacks against them. This latest attack and the lack of support and the protest against it has brought out a lot of silent Jewish people at high levels, government, businesses, agencies, who said, wait a minute, this is not right. You're not seeing this right, and we're going to stand up for Israel. So that's an interesting dynamic that just happened this last several
months. That is really
months.
New. Yeah.
Really new. And it'll be interesting to see it. But he says in this, he said, know that the kingdom of God is near, that by no means will anything pass away, but my words will stand. So we need to start paying attention to his words. And then he says, take heed, for don't let the day come on you unexpectedly as a snare. The word snare is a trap. Is it traps you that you think it's one way, you're attracted to it, and then it traps you. It actually gets you caught in a place, and he says, so that you count it worthy to escape everything that's happening, which is, again, one of the reasons why you might consider that pre-trib rapture may not be the answer, because he doesn't say, well, I've taken you out of the way, don't worry about it. Well, you need to count yourself worthy so that you escape it. And see, I believe that that's what God is calling us. And worthiness, interesting enough, this is defined. Actually, let me read you this verse. And Kathy, if you could write this down, we'll come back to it later. So it's in Colossians chapter 1, and it says, this is in chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be inheritance of the saints in the light. And so we need to talk about that. But worthiness, instead of being counted worthy, the worthiness is, do I have a heart and do I have the ability to follow God's will?
Right.
And that's what he's saying is you better count yourself worthy. If you're going to escape all this stuff, then you better count yourself worthy to be able to follow what he has to say, hear his voice, and process with him the understanding of what it means to hear his voice and walk with him. So that's something that we all need to understand. And we'll get back to this verse in Luke about how do we count ourselves worthy? How do we get ready? How do we watch? How do we be careful of all the things that are happening? And we're going to keep bringing up information that might be contrary to what is being given as info to the world. And maybe the true info is something different. By the way, data is data.
Yes.
And we can dig into that. So we'll pray for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for this discussion of understanding what is going on, that there's a different game being played. We know that there's a purpose behind it. It doesn't surprise you. It's actually, in my understanding of the end, it has to be this way. That if this is so, it's actually headed in a positive way where we get to have Christ return and live with him in eternity and in the millennium. And so we just pray that we'll understand it, that we will count ourselves worthy by seeking your will, not even trying to pinpoint our own thoughts about it, but rather keep listening to you. And we praise you and we thank you for that now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, for sharing. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions about today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.